When I was asked to speak today, I have to tell you, I wish I could have said that I agreed readily, but that's not true. I was initially reluctant, and that is an old reaction I've had all my life. As I thought about being a part of Evangelical Reformed Church and the genuine affection of the women here, and that my funeral has been postponed, I wanted to say yes. So I am grateful to be here, able to thank God for this day. I remember the verses from Psalm 71, 14 and 15 that I treasure. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. We are very blessed at this church to have such rich teaching from the Scriptures. The current studies of Ruth, Luke, and Colossians have made preparation for this message like picking ripe apples from a tree. With this familiarity among us, I hope you receive a blessing as together we exalt the King, the one who came and is coming again. When I reflect on the first Advent, which we celebrate each Christmas season, it has enriched my understanding of salvation to study about our identity in Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3-9 describes our status in God's kingdom. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Human nature never changes. My mother told me that when I was young, and it is true. The inflated individualism in our culture uses every means to elevate the self. I sometimes enjoy reading medieval history and recently read about Eleanor of Aquitaine. It soon became apparent that kings and queens and popes have lived larger than celebrities produced by Hollywood. Except by the grace of God, all of us seek after things that cannot satisfy. It does matter to what we attach, for our attachments carry us into the future. To what do you cling for security, for comfort, for rescue from pains? We are to cling to the rock, Jesus Christ. He will keep us through the storms of life. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, to pay the penalty for my crimes, to cancel the record of debt I had accumulated. While I was God's enemy, he loved me and made me alive in Jesus Christ. By his love, he showed mercy instead of justice. By his grace, he rescued instead of crushing. He transformed my heart of stone to a heart of flesh and transferred me from darkness to his kingdom of light. Now I am made able to respond to his love. He does this throughout each generation, one by one, plucking us from the pit, adopting us as his children, giving us an inheritance, and securing us in faith by the Holy Spirit. Having been given a new identity, now we are made able to serve God and others before ourselves, to be salt and light in this world. As participants in the kingdom, how can we honor and pay tribute to this King? I'll mention a handful of ways. Prayer, thanksgiving, suffering and joy, practice and perseverance, and praise. We are told to pray. Hebrews tells us we have access to the very throne of God, the way made clear by Jesus. We may boldly approach God and speak to Him. What do we say to the God of the universe? This is the way I look most of the time when I'm talking to Him, so now you know. I'm going to read from the notes of the ESV Study Bible concerning the anointed preacher in Isaiah 61. The Messiah will preach into existence His new liberated people, who will pray into existence His new redeemed world. What privilege is ours? What work of lasting value has been given to us? Now as we take notice of our surroundings, there are things to take to God in prayer. We can pray for those who are deaf to the gospel, deceived by false religions, blind to their true need, discouraged for the binding up of the wounded. We see and hear and then speak to the One who is in charge of managing the universe, and He hears our prayers. This privilege has continuity into the future, way past our time on earth. Have you ever rejoiced in this truth? That all the prayers we pray for family and friends, for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and on until the Lord returns, God hears. An article written by Reverend John Sartell in Table Talk magazine comforted me. My takeaway is that prayers are ever before the throne of God, even when I no longer have breath to say another prayer on earth. God answers when He answers and is not bound by time and space. This is why we can have calm even before test results are known to us, because they are known to Him. God knows already what is to be done about a matter. The provision is already made, the timing perfect. Everything is in order. We can have true rest in the everlasting arms. My prayer for you is from 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. That brings us to the next thing we can do now. Be thankful to God for His goodness and grace and faithfulness. Thanksgiving is another way to participate and walk in faith. We give thanks for the accomplished work of Jesus, the provision which has been made for us with regard to justification and our daily needs, the inheritance which is ours because of Christ, the faith to believe, and the faith that is kept and guarded for us to ensure our salvation. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The next two aspects of living in honor of the King involve suffering and joy. We are people who mourn. This is a hard thing to hear and listen to. But listen to Ecclesiastes 7, 2-4, when it says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." In Matthew 5, 3-11, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount tells us the state of kingdom followers. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This makes positive thinking suspect, doesn't it? We would not mourn rightly if the scriptures did not instruct us in what is truly sad. And conversely, we would not rejoice in the midst of suffering unless God had revealed Christ, our hope of glory. So we are not held hostage to a fragile happiness, nor dependent on feeling good in order to be well. We have joy because He has set eternity in our hearts and given us faith to believe the gospel. And we can practice each day what we know. We get to practice on each other as we forgive, help, comfort, encourage, pray, and love one another. As we practice, we learn and grow in knowledge and truth. We grow in faith. Our walk is strengthened. This strength from the Lord equips us to grow more and more, being able to practice with more knowledge and understanding. We are being fitted for everlasting life in the presence of God. Let us also cling corporately, as the love of God knits us together in unity. We are taught how to love because God has dealt graciously with us. Okay, what do we do when we've prayed, given thanks, suffered and rejoiced, and done all that we know to do, but life's difficulties don't change? What about when the load is so heavy, it seems to undermine the very faith that we really want to practice? The Bible tells us to persevere, step by step. I call it littles by little. We keep doing what is right and do not grow weary in doing good. And if the circumstance seems to exceed our limit, God will make a way to bear it. Besides, we rarely know our limits or God's purposes directly. What we mostly experience is dread, another word for fear, that something is bad wrong and that we don't like it, and God should deliver us from this present hardship. Be careful what you tell yourself. If we use hindsight, by using faith in God's word as foresight, we can agree with Scripture that this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What is temporary does not have the power to define us if our identity is in Christ. I have a working acquaintance with some of these struggles. To have multiple myeloma and to have experienced a relapse about a year after undergoing an autologous stem cell transplant, having taken three different kinds of chemo, not counting the lethal dose of melphalan before transplant rescue, that's what they call it, with dexamethasone steroid, in all a debilitating process of fighting an unseen enemy in my bone marrow, and then to be in remission the past 6 months from this incurable cancer is sometimes hard to comprehend. This could present some mixed feelings, such as, I'm okay now, but what about in 3 to 6 months or a year? I'm told the cancer is there, but not producing treatable symptoms. Do I shout hurrah or quietly wait for the next assault? Should I go on a crusade for a good cause or jump out of an airplane and show the world how bold a survivor can be? I might consider this situation just not good enough. Or I can tell myself the truth, that there are no guarantees in this life. God is sovereign. All my needs are met by a loving Father. My life is in His hands, breath by breath, the same as it has always been. God's grace is sufficient to see me through every trial. I cannot expect to be delivered from all earthly troubles. My true home is in heaven, for which I am learning to long. I have been given the gift of time to a further extent than I thought would be the case. Things feel so regular. Often I don't even remember that I have cancer. I am actually getting to deal with decisions about replacing appliances, reupholstering my favorite chair, repainting a couple of rooms in our 21-year-old home. Ah, the wear and tear of regular life, how sweet. And to hear 4-year-old feet running to give a big hug is about the sweetest thing of all, even if it sometimes feels like being mauled by a baby bear. My Heavenly Father, the great physician, has redeemed and healed me. It says so in Psalms 103. Read the benefits that are ours, the things we cannot do for ourselves. He has done those things for us. Life on earth is a struggle. But because Christ has conquered sin and death, the uncertainty is removed. We have been given a future and sure hope. We struggle not in vain. All is to His glory. By faith, I believe this is true. And the very fact that we are not delivered from all distresses on this earth points to the very reason we exist, to worship and to praise. We praise God for who He is, not for our pleasant, comfortable circumstances, for His goodness, His grace and mercy, His faithfulness, for what He gives and also for what He takes away. We are made to praise something higher and outside ourselves. When we praise Him, we participate with all the saints who have ever been. We sing together the words of life that lift up the name of Jesus above every other name. We honor Him as King of the eternal kingdom and confess our heart's longing to be with Him forever. His names tell us how to praise Him. Lion of the tribe of Judah, Alpha and Omega, the Rock, Shepherd of the sheep, Prince of peace, Ruler of all, King of kings, the way, the truth, and the life. If God can make the strong stones cry out in praise, surely our mouths can. It would be a miserable existence if we were trapped by a false standard of having to be happy, and we could only be happy when circumstances favored us, and God could only be called good when we are happy. Spare us, Father, from such silliness. Help us to practice our knowledge of You by praying, being thankful, rejoicing even in the midst of trials, persevering in the faith, and praising You in all things. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." As believers and receivers of the gospel, we walk according to the knowledge of God learned in the scriptures, and we cling to Jesus by faith until He returns. Until that day comes, we exalt the King. Paul follows the teaching of correct doctrine in his letter to the Romans with a glorious doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen.